Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TalkSavers Podcast. My name is Sal. Today, I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
Hello, mate. How are we doing?
I'm doing lovely. How about you, mate?
All good, thank you. All good.
We've got some football to talk about, as usual. A lot happened over the weekend. Some upsets, maybe some expected results as well. But I think we should start on the early kickoff on the Saturday, where Newcastle hosted Liverpool and put up a fairly decent, you know, they didn't just roll over. I think Liverpool had a lot of decent chances, but I think Liverpool were made to defend quite deep at points. I mean, I was watching Match of the Day earlier on today. I didn't manage to catch it the weekend, but there was a lot of highlights on like just how deep Liverpool went and really sort of respected Newcastle. And I think it was quite important how they kept that clean sheet. I don't know what your thoughts were on the game.
Yeah, I thought that they did really well defensively. They highlighted on Match of the Day, actually, the way that they sprung the offside trap, which caught Newcastle out, you know, that goal. That I think it was Almiron had a goal.
Yeah, it was Miguel Almiron, and he was well off as well.
Yeah, he was miles off.
It's Joe Gomez that steps in to play him off.
It's the perfect step in from Gomez, isn't it? It's like brilliantly timed. You can tell that's been coached.
He's really grown into that fullback position. I think a lot of people had question marks on it, but he's actually despite his injuries, he's still quite a tremendous athlete, and he's a natural ball defender. I think he's good. Good cover for that right back position.
Yeah, I think so. I think that him starting there ahead of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah not starting, it's a bit of a gamble somewhere like Newcastle at this stage of the season, especially when they're in such good form. It also really upset half the country who've got him in their fantasy teams as well.
But he's a mainstay, isn't he?
It's worked out. Yeah, it's definitely worked out. Definitely worked out for Liverpool.
How are you doing in the fantasy league this year? This is my first year that I can remember, but I've not done FPL, and I've really enjoyed like not like scrambling about track because I'm normally not bad. I did quite good in the Screamers League last year, where we had like 50 or 60 people in it or something.
I'm like tumbling down the league, the Screamers League. I'm 22nd in the Screamers.
Is it still
league
a thing? How
it
many
still
people
exists?
Is in it?
Yeah, we've got 52 in it.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
I know, yeah. I'm hoping that goes up next season as well. Yeah, I'm like, I am 22nd. I've got just under 1900 points. So, like, it's bang average. It's bang average.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's nothing special.
I think I'll make a comeback next year. Do you know what? Next year we should.
It's good fun, mate. It's good fun.
Next year we should do it like whoever wins it, we'll send them out a shot or something like that.
Yeah, make it worth people's while.
Yeah.
Right,
somebody write that down. Put that to the producers, mate. Put that to the producers in the back office.
We'll see what we can come up with.
For the prize of £1 million. We got a wee bit off track there. Let's bring it back into the Liverpool game. I thought Mane was, in particular, had quite a few decent chances, but he's still having a really good season, and he's actually been, not, I don't want to say he's been tipped for Ballon d'Or, but you know, there's been a lot of consideration for Manny because Ballon d'Or really does take into account international competitions, and obviously he did very, very well at AFCON, and he's having a really positive season. If he goes ahead and wins a Champions League or a Premier League or potentially both, I don't know, but does in your mind, does that set him ahead of Salah?
I don't know. He doesn't win the Ballon d'Or for me because that's largely a popularity contest, isn't it? And I think that
apparently they'll try to steer it away from a popular kit. I'll believe it when I see it.
It doesn't hold much weight in football anymore, to be honest, the Ballon d'Or. I think it was more prestigious
back 10, in the day.
15 years ago. I think nowadays, because of the way it's been for the last decade, just Messi and Ronaldo, etc., I don't think anyone's really that bothered by it. But I think that will come back once those players are gone.
That's my thoughts on it, because it was very when I was younger, when I was a kid, Ballon d'Or was very held in very high regard. I think you're right to say, like, once Messi and Ronaldo kind of created a monopoly on it, minus the odd winner.
When you're Robert Lewandowski and you've never won it,
who's literally the best striker,
arguably should have won it at some point. So when stories like that happen, it kind of makes me think, I'm not really bothered about this. It doesn't really make a difference to anything in football, does it? Whether you've won that trophy, like, no one really makes that much of a fuss. About Ballon d'Or winners.
Fans don't really care about Ballon d'Or that much. But I think in the industry, it's still held pretty.
Yeah, it's more about the trophies you've won as a player, not, you know, as in like. The World Cup and the Champions League, and competitions, rather than just being nominated for something. I think it's more prestigious to win a World Cup than to win a Ballon d'Or.
I think World Cup's the most prestigious thing you can do.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think Mane's in that discussion. I think African Football of the Year or something like that. But I don't think he is, just because his league form just isn't there. Whereas. While they do take international accomplishments into account, also a lot of it this year is going to rely on the World Cup, isn't it? And, you know, Mane's not going to go and win the World Cup. So,
You never know. You never know.
Yeah, I know. Now I've said it.
Now you said it. Senegal's not a bad team, mate. Not a bad team at all. A couple of players in there, you know?
If they win the World Cup, I'd be very, very surprised.
But, a Scotland-Senegal final. Scotland even qualify. still got a wee fence to jump to get there.
Wishful thinking, that, mate.
Manifest your dreams, mate. You got to say them out loud, you know.
Just bringing it back to the Liverpool game, I thought that Naby Keita took his goal really well.
So well. Looked like a proper striker. Finish. Yeah, like a proper late.
It's the way he sells the defender. It's the composure. It's just... Like, it's beautiful, isn't it? There were obviously Newcastle fans shouting for a foul in the build-up. I think upon
clean tackle,
upon
seen it back a few times. Yeah,
as soon as everyone saw it, he kind of thought that's not a foul, and the referee had the perfect view of it as well, and he sees Milner get the ball straight away.
Yeah.
No controversy.
Great decision.
Yeah, it could have been a controversial decision, but it's not when you look at the replay. So right call, and then brilliant finish, as we said.
We see the tweets, mate. It's like Liverpool and all that stuff. It's just a clean tackle.
No. I mean, the referee was in front of it as well.
Exactly. James Milner has every right to compete for that ball. He gets the ball before he gets the player.
There's one angle that's from like behind the referee.
Yeah.
Where you can see Milner's foot clearly take the ball first, and that is the same view the referee would have had of it. So
great decision. It's a
great decision, really, to let. Play on, like, continue there, because if he'd pulled that back then to give that free kick, then it would have been the wrong call. So I'm trying to think of what else happened in the game.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Very much. It was a lot of chances for Liverpool. Jota came very close for a header as well. And Mane had two fantastic chances that he probably should have buried. But other than that, you know, it was. I think the important thing was the defending and the clean sheet that get Liverpool over the line here. I think we'll go over and we'll talk about Leeds Manchester City as well. You know, these games are just getting eaten up and we're just waiting for a slip up, and I thought this was a prime weekend that could potentially happen. Like both the title chasing teams are facing teams that are in good form. Newcastle are obviously, you know, there's an air of sort of positivity around Newcastle, and I was never comfortable until the whistle went.
In that match,
but Man City went and blew away Leeds, and Leeds did create some chances, but there was some rotation from Marsh and some stuff that didn't really go according to plan. Obviously. I think it was either Jack Harris. I think Jack Harrison had to come off with a bad knee injury. Liam Cooper got injured in the warm up, so that's a couple of things that go against you there. And, you know, there was just a wee bit of poor decision making in the final third for Leeds players in that match. But Man City just blew them away either way.
Yeah, Man City performed well, obviously, as they always do. But I actually thought Leeds gave them quite a good game. I think if they could finish their chances, it would not have been as comfortable a scoreline. As it has been for Man City.
That was it for me. That was a difference maker.
I know it's easy to say.
Yeah.
when they've obviously been beaten 4-0 and the stats don't look as if they had that many opportunities, but the chances that they did have, you know, up against a less experienced keeper potentially, or with a better centre forward on the end of them, you know, they caused Man City problems. And Man City had to battle really to win the game. But they did, I mean, the goals were all pretty solid. It was a very good City performance ultimately. But not as comfortable as the scoreline makes out it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, two goals from set pieces, I think, and that four. Mm. I think Aki's is from a goal from a set piece, and Rodri's goal is the first goal to go in is from a set piece as well. But that's just like this Man City team, they don't look as if they're going to mess up. I mean, but are the Liverpool. Does it go to the final day of the season and then Manchester City have got to play Aston Villa? And does Gerrard sort of like,
four
is that
games,
a redemption story?
Four games left for both sides. Both teams still in the Champions League for now. It's really, really interesting, isn't it? I'm trying to work out who's got the more difficult run because, I mean, Man City
have Liverpool
got Newcastle,
have the
Mets.
Slightly more difficult run for me.
Man City have got Newcastle, then they've got to go away to Wolves, away to West Ham, and then they've got Villa on the last day. And then Liverpool have Spurs next in the league. You've got the FA Cup thrown in there as well, with the FA Cup final before the end of the league season. And then you've got, so they've got to play Villa away, Southampton away, Wolves at home. I don't know, they're quite even to me.
I think Spurs is
potential banana skins in there for both.
Yeah. Spurs is a big one for me. Spurs have got to play for top four. So they've got still quite a lot to play for in that game. Whereas I think the teams at Manchester City play have pretty much not got a whole lot to play for in the league.
The FA Cup final doesn't help either because, I mean, you're going to have to rotate the side a bit more potentially because there's more games to be played. Obviously, you've got a cup final there sandwiched in between Premier League matches. And then if you get through the Champions League as well, you've got to be thinking ahead to the Champions League final. If a team goes out of the Champions League, then they're going to have less pressure on them, really, aren't they? Less need to rotate. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
I can't call it. I think City are probably still slight favourites in most people's minds, but it's just there's no way I could call this.
I think someone drops points. I really do think someone drops points.
They have to, man. Yeah. Surely,
I think if it's going to happen. Anywhere for me, Man City would drop points at West Ham away. Anywhere, and if Liverpool were to drop points in any game, it's either going to be the Spurs game or something ridiculous like they get shithoused at Southampton away. They get Ralphed, you know. Something like that. Yeah, it's there is some sort of
twist. There's obstacles. Yeah.
It's just it can't be as cut and dry as both teams just win all their games.
Win all their games and win it by a point.
Yeah, the Premier League is too bonkers and like too crazy for that to happen. There's always, you know, there's always something. There's always a final twist, ain't there?
Yeah.
One regular day of Barclays, mate. You know, that's the kind of thing we're looking for. So it will happen. Something will happen.
Should we go to the bottom of the table, mate? Norwich sent down. Yeah, Norwich sent down. Oh, Dino, sent down by the club he loves. I knew it was going to happen. That's why I titled our last episode. You know, it had to be yeah. Villa, because
yeah.
I backed Burnley to go and beat Watford, which they did, and I just
in brilliant fashion as well.
Yeah, it was a perfect bounce game for Villa, but it didn't look too disheartened. Dean Smith, I think he'd already maybe accepted. Well, I think he should have already accepted it.
When Dean Smith took the job there, he would have known that it was likely
I'm going to manage in the championship.
Going to get relegated, yeah. And I think he even said something like, you know, the club usually bounces back or something along those lines. Like he's expecting to go and walk the championship next year already. Like he'll probably already have been planning for that when he came in. So yeah, I can't. Surely nobody is surprised at Norwich being relegated.
No,
at this point. No. Like, yeah, they haven't been good enough at the end of the day.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Bit of an upset. So Everton went and beat Chelsea.
Yeah,
which massive. Massive. They're so massive. Needed.
They have a game in hand as well on Burnley and Leeds, so that is even bigger, because obviously if they go and win their game in hand, then that takes them out of the bottom three. So huge, huge win.
Did you see that coming? I think
No, I didn't actually. I thought
that was a perfect game for Chelsea to go and get a wee bit of confidence.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. It is the kind of result that you'd expect Chelsea to just go there and win. You know, with no issues. I know that obviously it's not all plain sailing for Chelsea at the moment off the pitch. I think that's kind of spilled over into on the pitch as well. But you'd still be expecting them to go and beat a very poor Everton side. But do you know what? You have to give credit to Jordan Pickford because he was absolutely outstanding in that game. He made probably one of the best saves Premier League's ever seen in that one where he saved it down at one post and then got across and to the other post. Absolutely incredible save. It's got no business saving that.
Yeah, 17 shots Chelsea had, 79% possession, 720 passes to Everton's 197.
Look at that. Chelsea have been FM, don't they? they've been football manager, 100%.
Like, saying that, Chelsea had 5 shots on target, Everton had 4. So it's a bit of a weird one. I mean, it's not a poor Chelsea side that's not been able to get the job done here, because it is, you know, that's not a weak side. They've got Werner, Havertz, Mount as a sort of front three. Got Reece James, that's who they said was the missing key all along, wasn't it? And when they went in that type of form, it's because Reece James and Ben Chilwell went there. Obviously, Ben Chilwell was still absent for injury, but, you know, that's still a very good side and they should be doing better against...
It is. Looking at that side, they've left Kovacic on the bench. They've got no Kante at the moment. So I do think they make a difference in the middle. But the rest of it is pretty solid. It's pretty much almost their strongest team. I don't know, Chelsea fans would probably argue with that. But
yeah, they would argue with that. I'm not saying it's their strongest team, but it's still a capable side.
Yeah, but I mean, besides the two in the middle, you've got all your main players in there. You Mason Mount, Havertz, Rudiger at the back, Azpilicueta. He doesn't really get dropped, does he? No. Mendy. So, yeah, it would be really disappointing for them. I wonder if they've, you know, not wanting to screw over old Frank.
Laid over, have they?
Yeah. I reckon he's been in their ears before kickoff. Like, can't do me a favour, gents.
That brings Arsenal within 3 points of Chelsea. Honestly,
I think I said a couple of weeks ago actually that Chelsea might still get sucked into that fourth place battle just because of the poor run of form they're in. And lo and behold, they've been sucked in.
They need to get
it's
at
definitely
least
not over that.
Yeah, they can't go ahead and throw away these last four games, otherwise they will get sucked into that because you know Spurs are on 61 points, so 5 points behind. That's a lot of distance to be made up. And a race for top four, but you know they're not beating woeful form ever.
Yeah, I think it's just, so. Chelsea have got Wolves, Leeds, Leicester, then Watford on the last day. Watford on the last day is what will save Chelsea.
Yeah,
top four.
Yeah, I think they could just win one of those last four games and maybe get it. You know.
Yeah, I think Arsenal and Spurs still have to play each other. That's going to be pretty decisive. Arsenal could relegate Everton potentially on the last day if it goes that far. It's interesting. There's really interesting games all around at this point, isn't there? Tottenham got to play Arsenal, Burnley, Norwich away. I mean, yeah, all three sides potentially could win on the last day. I reckon it's going to be one of those where one team goes 1-0 up and then that puts them third and then one team concedes. Like, you know, it's going to be chopping and changing, and eventually it will finish. And yeah, maybe Spurs will go in.
I like it when it's like that the last day.
Conceding it at Norwich. Yeah,
it makes an event of the last day, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like any time that matches a day have to like cut between games. You know, when they show the highlights, and they're going to show 20 minutes of the Burnley game, and then they're going to go over to Goodison Park, and then like, yeah, like
who do you see going down? Four games left, well, five for Everton. But who do you see going in that? So as the table currently sits, as I look at it now, Burnley in 16th with 34 points, but 34 games played. Leeds are the same, with a slightly lesser goal difference, so they sit in 17th.
Yeah.
And Everton with 32 points with 33 games played. So obviously, if they win that game in hand, that puts them in 35. But it only puts them...
The game in hand, I think, is away at Watford.
Yeah, which they should go and win.
Caught up after that. So you'd expect them to win, but you know, you never know. Because they have been really poor. I don't know. I do think Everton will go.
Watford have lost five in a bounce.
Yeah, but then Leeds have a very tough run in. So they've got Arsenal next. They've got to play Chelsea. Brighton at home won't be an easy game for Leeds, and then Brentford away on the last day. So I think potentially Leeds might end up getting dragged in. Yeah, it could. It is really difficult to call at the minute. It's really difficult. But I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens. I don't really care who comes down, to be honest, as a neutral. All I want to see is just an exciting
final day,
relegation battle. Yeah. Just a, you know, exciting final day. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see. It's all going to happen over the course of the next 3 weeks or so. I can't wait.
Rightio, Jed. I think that's going to do. I think we've covered the bulk of the Premier League games that we wanted to cover, and we're going to come back tomorrow and preview some Champions League, which is going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it, especially the game at the Bernabeu between City and Real Madrid. I hope it just even if it could be half the game it was at Etihad, then I'd be immensely pleased.
Yes, absolutely. It's just set up so nicely, isn't it? Obviously, you've got. I think it's actually. Villarreal, Liverpool tomorrow, and then Real Madrid's on Wednesday.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's going to be a missable game. I think that one.
Buzzing. Right, Theo Chips. Thank you very much for listening, Jed. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for downloading the episodes. It really does help us out. Please rate this episode or rate the podcast whatever platform you listen to. It really does help us out as well. Until tomorrow, cheerio, bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.